you either sort of suck up having a sort of lower end solution that is designed for SMEs, but then is not got the sophistication that they might need in order to scale their business forwards, or you have to suck up high cost.
Hello and welcome to Clicked Off. Every week we'll be hearing from the people making it big in e-commerce. I'm your host, Jason Chappell. I'm joined today by Ed Harries, VP of Strategic Partnerships and Payments at Visualsoft. Ed, thanks so much for joining me.
Pleasure, Jason. Good to see you again.
Nice to see you too. Now, we spoke a little while ago, you know, just sort of had a pre-chat, if you like, before putting a date in for us to record. And a few bits have gone on for you at Visualsoft since then, which we will cover. But for those who don't know, and I have to put myself in a relative newbie camp here, let's talk a little bit about Visualsoft. What is it? What do you do?
So my role is responsible for partners and technology vendors, I guess, and payments within an e-commerce platform. So Visualsoft, I would describe as a business of two halves. We've got an e-commerce platform, which sits nicely in the sort of Shopify towards big commerce camp. And supports merchants in the mid-market here in the UK. And then on the other half of the business, we've got a full-service digital marketing agency and web development agency. So that part of the business can take the platform and they can help merchants grow on it. They can do anything from launching a new website with, we've got award-winning website designers in our business, through to SEO, pay-per-click, email campaigns, what we call Apex, which is a fully sort of campaign-orientated marketing strategy we build in for merchants, really so that we've got this end-to-end capability within the Visualsoft umbrella, if you like, to take a merchant who's probably approaching, let's say, £1 million of online revenue and striving to get towards that 5 or 10 million over the next, 2 to 5 years. We think we've got most of what merchants need. And like I said, I'm really responsible for making sure that the vendors that we work with in our platform can support merchants in that space.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk a little bit about the kind of technology and the platform side of things, first and foremost. You mentioned some pretty big names in there, you know, like the big commerce side of things, the Shopify side of things. Where are you playing in this market? Because there's competition. For sure, out there right now.
Sure. I think we've done a bit of an introspective look over the last couple of years. We took on some investment in 2019. We like to think of ourselves as a mid-market player in the e-commerce space. So merchants who are turning over online revenues of somewhere in the region of £500,000 up to probably £15 million, I'd say. And then if you kind of go right in the middle, that's our sweet spot. But that kind of breadth. And typically you'll find that we deal with business owners who have grown their business, they've retailed really successfully, they've got a great understanding of their products they're selling. They could be brands going direct to consumer, or they could be multi-brand retailers. But merchants that have got quite ambitious goals to grow. I would say that we don't really focus on the small end of the market where they're really just starting up or they're getting into retail. They've got an established business that we can kind of work with and handhold and grow. Probably where there isn't that much resource to help them do it. I think if you look broader at the market and where other platforms slot in, if you were on Shopify Advanced and you're thinking, this isn't quite working for us, and there's a sort of capped out, like glass ceiling, as I would describe it, we come in at that point, I'd say. And then we go all the way up to Shopify Plus and beyond. And we've got merchants who are in the sort of 50 million online turnover region supporting them. And that's more our enterprise end, but we can cater right up to that spectrum.
And how did Visualsoft come about? Because you have a slightly unique or different take to how you operate in terms of tech and that kind of tech stack and apps and those sorts of things, don't you?
Yeah, so I mean, Visualsoft's 25 years old now, so it's been around for a while in the market. I think it's been growing more aggressively in the last 5 years. I've been here for about 12 years and seen lots of different versions of Visualsoft. I think our approach comes about because of the way we work with merchants. So if you think of most platforms, they'll tend to work with agencies. So they'll tend to get their product delivered to market through an agency. intermediary, I guess, as we see it. So I think of Visualsoft more as a direct-to-merchant platform, and you've got a good sense of how we work with merchants on a day-to-day basis in quite a handheld or white-glove sort of way. So I think we do have an intricate understanding of how merchants work and what their needs are to help us, or for us to help them operate better. So when we talk about our platform being differentiated, we talk about it being end-to-end. We look at how we can embed some of the vendors that bigger merchants might procure. So I'm thinking of the likes of Klaviyo or other email solutions like Dotdigital, or it could be their EPOS provider. It could be some sort of comms platform, merchandising solutions, all of the different parts of a tech stack that a merchant might build up over time. Along with the sort of unknown associated cost of that, we're trying to take all of that unknown and bake it into our proposition, so that from day one, a merchant has this concrete understanding for the next 2 to 5 years of their business lifespan. What is it I'm getting? How can I leverage the tools that Visualsoft gives me out of the box? What's my cost? And crucially for us, and the way we sort of pitch it, is that it's a lower total cost of ownership by blending all of these things together into one product for that merchant. Now, that's not to say that you can't extend it and you can't have its sensibility into some other players in the market. We just feel that probably 80% of the merchants use our platform will be able to have the solutions we build out of the box. So it's simpler in that respect.
Now, you touch on quite a poignant conversation point in there around cost of ownership and those sorts of things. Because I don't get me wrong, I'm a big Shopify fan, but there's a flaw in the transparency, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of cost. They will provide the platform at their advertised price, no problem at all. However, when you want to start doing some more advanced or intricate work, you then need to start extending into their kind of ecosystem and app providers and those sorts of things. And each one of those carries their own cost. That's a little bit different with Visualsoft, right?
Yeah, and I think we're trying to show a real sense of transparency up front. And it is a key differentiator. I think, you know, Shopify has got plenty going for it, and they've got lots of opportunity to be complex. And I think whilst people think it's easy, and you've just described this, you know, there's lots of ability to have many thousands of apps interacting with a Shopify store. To me, for a sort of SMB mid-market merchant, that potentially breeds complexity, that they will need some sort of expertise in order to help them navigate it. And so by distilling, if you like, that complexity into something that's much more easy to understand out of the box, we're able to give merchants transparency up front, complete comprehension of their cost base up front as well, so they can have predictable business growth over time. I think one of the most common things that we see is that people don't really understand what they're getting for their money, what they're paying for, what they need to be paying for. And I think also in the sort of mid-market, we've got to understand that there's a hell of a lot of vendors pitching for, you know, them to be adopted by a merchant at any one time. And most of the time, those merchants have really grown up being experts at one thing, and that's retailing. It is not necessarily procuring a load of tech vendors to help them grow their business. So I do like to sometimes think that we're trying to do a much better job of taking a much broader view of the market and saying, look, who are the biggest players who can affect your business growth? And we're lucky enough here in the UK as a platform provider to be able to leverage our scale and our size. We've got about £1 billion of revenue going through our platform, 800 odd merchants using it currently. So we've got scale. We can go to some global players and vendors and say, look, we'll build you into the platform, and we can then distribute that to our merchants. And that gives our merchants tools they would not otherwise be able to buy themselves directly from these providers.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, a big one that's probably worth discussing, and one that I know you have picked up an award for recently, is a payment solution, right?
Yeah. We've worked with Stripe now for a good couple of years, having had a very disparate landscape, I'd say, of payment solutions on the platform for, I don't know, the last decade or so, probably, yeah. And I think what we've tried to do in that payment space is almost a bit like a trial for what we saw as our vision for partners moving forwards, which was to go from 20 or 30 different payment vendors down to literally just like four plus our own payment solution, so that merchants have some choice, and we're not just funneling them down our VFP product, which is what we just won an award for, but there is some choice. But it is designed to show merchants that from the choice that we give them, we've done our research, we've done our due diligence, we know this is going to support them in the market that they're in, and will help them get to the next level. So I think I'm particularly excited to win an award for that, because it really validates our thinking that by working with a global leader in payments like Stripe, and, you know, I've pushed every button I can possibly push in Stripe to make sure we've got a product that is completely curated to us, you can't get elsewhere. There's loads of customization, which is great. I remember when we were building the product, some of our engineers were getting so frustrated with me, like, Ed, we don't have guides for stuff. We don't have the sort of necessary integration guides. And I sort of looked at what some of the team at Stripe were sharing with us, and they were literally writing in Google Docs the guides at the time that our team were building. This sort of live collaboration with Stripe was just awesome. So I love that kind of thing, because I think it breeds innovation that you don't necessarily get by just plucking stuff off a shelf. It does make what we're doing a hell of a lot harder, because we basically have to say to all of the tech vendors we work with, we're going to at some point come to you and say, we're going to build a completely customized solution. Will you support us in that journey? And for the most part, you know, we're doing a great collaboration with Twilio right now, which is designed to enhance the way that merchants in this space communicate with their customers. So we're working with these players that are awesome for us to work with. You know, they give us great breadth in our product. They give us a great product that we can give to our merchants, but it's completely distinct from anything else in the market at the moment, which is great.
And you go out and you negotiate with these, you know, providers for various things. You know, you're talking about Stripe and Twilio, and you bring these to your merchants as one kind of cost. So you negotiate, you know, terms with those providers, and then because you can do that at scale, you then pass that on, right, to, you know, to, yeah, all of your merchants.
Baked into our license fee.
So
yeah, so
this
simple.
This allows people to get a complete handle on their costs. So it's not a case of, okay, I've got to pay for my e-commerce platform, and then I have to pay a separate fee for this piece of tech, and a separate fee for that. Separate fee. Get my teeth in. Separate fee for this other piece of tech. I see it quite a lot. You know, I'll review tech stacks with people, and there's thousands and thousands of dollars at any one time that people are spending on providers and apps and funding their tech stack. And there's often quite a lot of crossover, you know, between what people are doing, and then obviously they're paying the advertised fee, you know, on each of those things, because they're buying it as an individual rather than as effectively like as a collective.
Well, that's it. I think, you know, unfortunately for the merchants we support, they do struggle. Like, it's a fact of life that their negotiating power with some of these bigger providers is limited. So you either sort of suck up having a sort of lower end solution that is designed for SMEs, but then it's not got the sophistication that they might need in order to scale their business forwards, or you have to suck up high cost. And I think that trade-off is one that I don't want merchants to need to make a decision of. I'd much rather they come to us and they've got the sophistication to deliver their business growth, but at a cost that's affordable for them within a platform that, you know, simplifies their whole operations. You know, I think one of the other kind of aspects of this is when you have lots of different platforms bolted together, or lots of different sort of vendors, you tend to have different data in different places. If you look at the enterprise spectrum of retailers, they'll have the needs and the ability to internally to have things like data warehouses, so they can sort of centralize their data operations and they can have different platforms and places. In an SMB, so mid-market space, you tend to find that you've got order data, customer data, all these different types of pools of data with different platforms to be used in different ways, whether it's in your ESP or your ERP solution or your e-com solution, or even in the channels that you might operate in. And again, by bringing these partners into our platform, where you've got one centralized set of order data, one centralized set of customer data, product data, all your inventory in one place, like that, again, acts as a real simplification of what you're doing in e-commerce. So you can just focus on retailing, focus on the day-to-day operations, and we kind of take away that or sort of abstract away that complexity. So it's a great thing to sort of be a part of, because I think, like we've talked about a number of times, this dream or vision of the world being headless and sort of composable commerce is great, and I get it. And I think from an enterprise perspective, that flexibility is fab. In the mid-market, you need to be able to focus on retail, because that's the thing that actually makes you money and grows the business over time. And we're trying to help retailers in that space, and that's where we've got real clarity, I think.
I think the whole sort of headless, you know, composable conversation is a fascinating one. And I'd love to get your take on it, because my view is that, yes, I definitely think it's the future at some point, but I don't think the maturity's there in the market in general. You know, for the top 1%, yes, like it makes sense, and that is a conversation for now or tomorrow. But for most of that market, they are not doing billions of dollars a year in revenue, and it doesn't make sense for them. You know, for me, I think, to your point, people need to, so much of that market is stuck in the probably 10 million, sub 10 million revenue sort of bracket. And they are in the trenches. Those brands are in the trenches trying to figure out how they can make that next leap. You know, what's the next significant jump? What's the next million? What's the next five? And over what period of time? Spending all of their time focusing around headless or technology seems hard.
It is. And for me, it's wholly inefficient as well for that market to be spending their time doing that. There's the trouble with it's good and bad, right? In the market at the moment, there's so much noise. There's so many vendors in the market that you've kind of got to navigate. And if you're a retailer doing a million plus, and you know, maybe at that point you've got a sort of e-com director, but you definitely don't have 10 or 20 people running your e-com business. You're probably sharing stock with your store, or if you've got a warehouse, you've got to spread one sort of stock holding in across multiple channels. So, you know, there's lots of complexity just around the retail operations, let alone trying to build a tech stack that supports all of that. And I think it's when you're being pitched at every single day by so many vendors all trying to, you know, buy or sort of sell the next best thing with the next sort of unlimited growth and conversion rates and things, it can be quite challenging to just sort of see the wood from the trees. And I think my job certainly, and the rest of the team's job here, is to try and just clarify a lot of the messaging here so that merchants understand what they need to have from an e-com solution. And this is a top secret, which I'm obviously broadcasting here, but
it's just that you'll just have that really long beep now across what Ed said.
So, I mean, our platform, and we would never say this to a merchant. If a merchant says, you know, what's your platform about, we'd never say this. It internally, it's headless. So it's a headless solution. You know, and the new version of the platform is completely rebuilt from the ground up with completely new architecture that's headless. The sort of way I would describe it is headless within a walled garden, which is controlled by Visualsoft. Now, what this is great for us is it gives us huge flexibility internally as a tech team to do the integrations that we need. So from the Stripe payments perspective, you know, having a payments API that can support that in its own sort of serviceable right is great. It gives us loads of scope to grow. Same with the Twilio and the conversations piece. It's all in its own little sort of microservices. And I think that helps us get to some sort of degree of scale within our platform. It also gives us optionality as we grow the platform and the business. And, you know, let's say in 5-10 years time, a merchant comes on, they are in that kind of top 5% of the retail space, and they need complexity and they need that tech stack broken down a bit. We have that ability to do that. So that's the journey we're on. We are absolutely not pitching it as that, because to me, the word headless immediately breeds like, this is complex, this is a big beast. And actually, if you look at some of the platforms talking headless, the strapline of enterprise immediately sits alongside it, which is not where our merchants are sitting. So we're very conscious. There's lots of sort of subtleties around the way that this is talked about, but I think knowing that the core of our platform proposition is headless for us to work on is great, but selling it like that is not going to help. It's all about sort of simplifying that complexity of the tech stack. That helps a lot.
I think that makes a lot of sense. And you talked before, about data, right? And we're now kind of talking my love language here. A huge problem that merchants of all scales are facing is being able to actually leverage their data. Get it into a format, a place that is useful, where they can actually start to leverage that for positive, growth. And so much of that data is disparate. It's in the email service provider, it's in the e-commerce platform, it's in their ERP, it's in their, you kind of name it, warehousing, distribution, like everybody has a piece of this. And it's very hard to kind of aggregate all of that and get that into a place, because then you have duplicate data and you have, an updated record from the email service provider that hasn't updated on their, e-commerce platform.
Yeah.
How are you starting to pull all of that together and get it into a place where it's not just big brands with big budgets who can afford to pay people to come in and analyze this? How are you putting it in a format so that everyday people can use that?
So I think we're starting this journey here, and it's very much supported by the likes of Twilio and their sophistication around sort of customer data platforms, to bake some of that capability into our platform alongside all of the data that our platform stores from orders and customers and products and any sort of interaction really that happens on the platform. So what you should see in the next year from our platform is an e-commerce platform that at the heart of it has got its own sort of customer data platform, which is really exciting for us, because I think, again, going back to that headless discussion or the sort of composable discussion, you tend to at the moment find in the market merchants will have an e-com platform and then they'll have some sort of CRM type solution if they're of a level where they need to manage that and manage the relationships. And then they're really striving for that customer lifetime value. Again, by bringing this all into our platform core, leveraging the Twilio sophistication, which is very much built around this idea of a sort of golden profile that everything feeds into. And then we're layering on top of that by building our own automation and workflow system in the platform. So you can take any sort of triggered input, and then, so this could be someone purchasing, it could be someone banding a basket, it could be someone just viewing a product and you know who the customer is, any sort of trigger on a website, that can feed into an action that can then utilize some of the Twilio network across, WhatsApp, Messenger, chat, etc. That can then start these kind of customer discussions and conversations much more effortlessly. I think it's probably one of the things that will make our platform the most unique in the market when it comes to that embedded CRM sort of CDP solution, which is honestly going to be amazing, because you take some, you extend that a bit further and you've got potential to start looking in offline as well. So taking some of the Stripe data that gives us fingerprinting, for example, with card data offline and online, you can match that with customer profiles online. There's a whole world of stuff you can do there. But I think centralizing the data in one place is key. And because we're in control of all the UIs and the way that merchants interact with our platform, again, we abstract all the complexity for merchants needing to understand where bits of data is held, and we just put it into this kind of brilliant, powerful new customer system, which is coming next year, like I said. And you'll find that merchants have got this capability at their fingertips. This is all part of our new platform, kind of loosely titled VSX at the moment, but it's a completely rebuilt platform, like I said, a departure from our old platform. And we started actually with an insights and analytics part intentionally, because we know how important the data that is powering or that these merchants are trying to get at is for these merchants. So, I mean, this, we can't demo it obviously right now, but if anyone wants to look at this, we've got this completely new analytics platform that merchants have essentially built on top of their existing platform, but forms part of the new version. And it delves into their customer data, their order data, email send history, the activity and the kind of conversion rates of emails and different channels and campaigns. This is just the start. It'll iterate and evolve over time. We've got a limited amount of business intelligence going on in there with some recommendations based on performance. So if merchants see their AOVs tracking down or conversion rates tracking down, there'll be a, this is a row of recommendations that we feed in for merchants to then start to make actions off the back of it. And these are the things that we understand a little bit more acutely, probably because we've got our agency, you know, in the one half of the business like I talked about, and the two very much complement each other. They can work independently. So, you know, we're trying to work with agencies to now start delivering our platform to market outside the UK, but we've also got that agency helping inspire what we do at the platform tech. And I think, again, that is unique. Like, there's not very many platforms where they've got an agency to inspire what they do in the platform, certainly from a marketing perspective. You see that in the home screen that we've now built, and we launched back in September. On the sort of middle kind of frame of the home screen app, you've now got this whole marketing section which details a business's upcoming marketing campaigns and their activities based on what's been set in the platform. So if you are launching promo codes for Black Friday, or you've got an email schedule to go out, or you've got some other campaigns running on different channels, they all appear in this beautiful little calendar, and you've got a whole list of all the activities beside it. It's subtleties like that, I think, that start to differentiate us more from just being a standardized e-com platform that you then need to connect a load of stuff to this is like your hub of your retail universe, and we will keep bundling stuff more into this so you can see where you're headed, you can see what your data is showing you in the past, we can start making inspired sort of actions for you to do more and do better. You know, this is the start of this journey, like I keep saying, and I think it's an exciting one to be on for us at the moment.
Now, you talked in there, you know, about working with agencies and those sorts of things. Tell me a little bit about your approach to partnerships, because the whole partnerships debate is a bit of a hot topic, you know, right now in the kind of e-com sphere, with people, I think, really assessing what partnerships mean and what's valuable.
Well, yeah, and that's the key. So value is the key here, right? So I think I posted actually on LinkedIn the other day about this sort of topic. One of the things that's really frustrated me, I think, in partnerships generally, is this notion that partnerships equals, you know, as a sort of formula, an incorrect formula, partnerships equals volume of vendors or volume of agencies on a sort of directory to show that you're, you know, impressive and you've got an array of different, you know, names against your business, which fundamentally derives very little value. And that's the key here. So we started our partner journey, I would say, with the platform, looking at how the platform stacked up in the market and how we were going to partner with tech vendors, so like the Twilios and the Stripes of the world and others, to bake them into the platform, as we talked about. And I think in doing that, what we realized is that there's a really big need to curate the partners that you work with. And again, this all comes off the back of you really understanding at a detailed level the customers that you serve, so that you can find the right partners. But once you've done that job, you can then find and curate and distill just the right set of, in our case at the moment, tech vendors to support the platform growth and the product vision to serve our customers and give them value. So product is like value, value, value. So what can we do to help merchants grow first and foremost? And we're starting to get into this discussion now. It's like we've got this vision of the platform. It's starting to grow. It's on this journey. We've got all the vendors curated. We've got this partner roadmap really well detailed and aligned. And we know where we're going. Now we're into this realm of, well, you know, this product we're currently delivering to market ourselves. We've got our own sales team. We've got our agency building on top of the platform. We touched on headless a little bit just then. So there is this optionality to say, look, as a platform, we can take this to market in a couple of different ways now. And so whilst I think in the UK at the moment, we're going to stick with our probably direct to market agency approach, as Visualsoft is, we're now looking internationally at growing the platform into the market with agencies who can build on the platform. They can build their own storefronts. Either they can use our own kind of templating, they can build their own, like there's lots of flexibility there. But that does mean that we can then offer in a sort of resold approach to these agencies, the ability for them to monetize SaaS platforms. And I think this is a key distinction here for me when we talk about the way that we commercialize our relationships. Platforms today have typically gone down one approach, which is agencies refer a ton of retailers to the platform. The platform grows. They get a load of GMV from the revenue, happy days for the platform. Agency kind of carries on doing a load of servicing. And so from a, you know, an investor business perspective, you've got a platform which has lots of great recurring revenue with, in theory, minimal resources. Platforms have done good or bad jobs, depending on who you're talking about. In the agency space, there's a lot of servicing still going on, and that is true today. So if you look at most of the platforms that people refer to or refer merchants to, they kind of pass off a lot of the valuable revenue, if you like, to the platform, whilst the agency has got the job of essentially scaling up or down depending on how needy or not needy those merchants are or their customers are they're working with. So I've said, look, we need to do this differently. The best approach, in my mind, is giving the agencies the ability and the sort of empowerment to take the SaaS platform into their business offering so that they can create this really great sort of utopia of SaaS platform plus service plus web dev, probably in that instance, so that they are the ones in control of delivering and commercializing the SaaS platform to their merchants. They essentially, you know, from a business perspective, on their P&Ls, they get the ability to recognize this as a sort of source of income with a potentially associated cost, but they can also at that point then share in much more of the revenues that come from the platform. So payments, email, et cetera, all the things that we can monetize on the platform for the agency to ultimately have a lot of the benefit that we might have as a platform business. And I think rather than having volumes and volumes and volumes of agencies to try and scale our platform internationally or in the UK as we see fit over the next coming years, by having the best agencies that are delivering the best kind of unique service to the market, whether it's subscription websites or it's vertical specific websites, I think if we can give those agencies and empower them to sell our platform through their service offering to the merchants, that is a great route for them to grow their agency business, diversify their revenue portfolio and their businesses, and give us the scale that we want to get as a platform business, whilst we support them. So it's kind of like a hybrid channel partner, reseller partner approach. I think something that you don't really see today, but one that should give agencies a huge leg up when it comes to them having diversified revenues in the business.
See, I think this is a brilliant idea because so many, you know, agencies are looking at partnerships, and I think they're recognizing that they are passing off a lot of that value, that, you know, they're handing that over, and they might get a kickback. They might get, you know, a 10% rev share for a period of time, or they might get, you know, $200, you know, given to them or whatever that looks like. But the reality is that's not changing anybody's world, and nobody other than the provider or the platform is really kind of benefiting. And if we can make it that there's that enablement that you talk about, that hang on a second, does it matter if VisualSoft is the driver at the front of this, or whether actually the agency is the driver and the VisualSoft is enabling them, you know, to deliver incredible service and a platform and exactly what a merchant provides, that does that actually matter more? You know, and I think that, you know, despite what a lot of people think, you know, I've been in agencies a long, long time, that they don't make the money that people think they make. You know, they're not getting super fat off the margins that are going on, because,
and it's hard work.
Yeah, you know, you're paying people, and that people are expensive regardless of kind of where they are. So you know, being able to kind of play smarter, not harder, you know, is a really different and refreshing, you know, approach.
Well, and I think for me, the point here is that, you know, I think in the UK, there's something like 7,000 digital agencies of various descriptions. So there's a sea of agencies here in the UK, and, you know, many, many more over in the US and elsewhere. I think, you know, I recognize that the retailers that probably are likely to do the best are the ones that find an agency that fits with their aspirations. And ultimately, you know, when you look at the other platforms in the market, their value is really delivered via those agencies and the agency's ability to leverage whatever that platform's doing. And so I maybe shouldn't say this. I almost think it's like, is wrong the way that the kind of commercial relationship actually exists today, where agencies, you know, fundamentally, in terms of, if we talk of value, they're delivering maybe 99% of the value to those retailers. And I've seen it. My wife works in digital, is a sort of digital consultant. She's worked with a retailer much smaller than we work with, but delivering a new re-platform. And what I've seen is the agency delivering it. Like, the platform doesn't even, it doesn't really even feature. It's just a choice that's at the start of the journey. The rest is endless value given by the agency. And we do the same. So our agency is leveraging a platform, and the platform, as we talked about, I think is great, and it's doing lots of great things. But it's the agency's ability to work closely with that merchant to understand their desire for growth and their aspirations, what they're trying to achieve, that gives them the ability to tailor something in a platform experience and convey their brand in a meaningful way that then gets them more business. And I think the agency should really own the entirety of that sort of spectrum of service offering, whether it's SaaS platform offering or it's their services. So they do have the upside of whatever goes through the platform being a benefit. I think the other big thing here that I often think about is, you know, in the agency space, historically, it's been the case that many businesses are just delivering kind of ad hoc, you know, maybe a website build for a period of time, maybe a small amount of service on from that, maybe a sort of period of warranty for the website. But really, there's a lot of churn and a lot of movement in the Shopify and the BigCommerce and the WooCommerce space of the market. We're very fortunate at Visualsoft because of our sort of structure and model in the UK that we have merchants. I mean, there's a couple of merchants that I know of still with us, and I've been here for 12 years, and they were here before I was here. I think that is kind of unknown, really. And I think our average is about 6 years of merchants staying with us on the platform. Now, if we can inspire and help agencies to incorporate our product into their solution, bundle services around it, they will benefit from greater customer retention, greater customer lifetime value of those merchants working with them, because the value is so intrinsically part of their service offering. I think, unfortunately, as soon as you think, well, we're just on a sort of another named platform and we've got the ability to move to whichever developer happens to sort of suit our fancy, then there's that ease of movement from an agency to agency actually undermines the value of the agency itself. I think it's part and parcel of the same thing.
I think that's a really good point. There is also an issue, as I see it, you know, with the kind of mentality around agency and merchant relationship, that very often I think merchants are looking for a silver bullet solution that will solve all of their problems today. And the problem that we have is that agencies sell that silver bullet solution and nobody carries it. There isn't, I hate to break it to anybody, there isn't a silver bullet out there. But merchants are always told, oh yeah, don't worry, like, we'll redesign your site or replatform your site, and that's the answer. And once we've done it, once we've done that project, all your problems will be solved. And they're never solved because there's not that continuity of progression, of iterating, of going back and saying, okay, cool, we made these decisions, but things have changed. Your customer base has changed, or the market has changed, or, you know, all these different factors come into play. Socioeconomic conditions, all of these things go towards us needing to circle back and look at, you know, the customer journey here, or this particular, you know, the UI of this particular page, or how we process payments, or, you know, any of these sorts of problems. But that's not a we need to scrap the whole thing and start it again conversation. That's a okay, let's go through and pinpoint pain for people and start to go through and iterate. And, you know, when your house is looking a little bit tired, you don't demolish it and start again. You know, you might have to do some repair work. You know, maybe there's a burst pipe or something like that. You fix that, you do some repair work, and you redecorate. You pull out what's there and put something new back in. You know, it's not that approach. That's the approach that lots of people are being sold. And I really want to be kind of an advocate for the fact that that's not the answer. You know, please don't demolish your house because you want something different.
And I think one of the things that you end up in that cycle, and you've sort of described the needs of most agencies nowadays, and partly this is driven out of commercial need. You know, if you think that there's very little in terms of retained client value, I think for most agencies, they might have, you know, various different sort of developer support solutions and so on, but significant value coming from monthly retainers is limited, I think, in the market. It's much more about these project by project sort of works. And you've described that in terms of new website developments. And if an agency happens to speak to a retailer at a show, or they reach them somehow, it'll be a pitch towards a new website, not because they necessarily need it, as you said, but because there's a desire and a need for that agency to keep filling their coffers with more and more project work. Now, I think if you flip that the other way and you say, look, as an agency, your job is now, or your vision should be to build up a sustainable growth of merchants over time that you service with a platform that you know has the capabilities to do this with, you end that cycle that agencies need to go through every year to say, how many websites do we need to deliver? How many merchants do we need to onboard? And then rinse and repeat. And it's a vicious cycle, because then merchants have this understanding that the only way to succeed, as you say, is to re-skin it every time, or re-platform at some point. Now, don't get me wrong, there is obviously a time when platform does need to change, and usually at a sort of big size evolution in the business. So as I talked about earlier, you get merchants who reach that kind of Shopify advanced glass ceiling, let's say, and it's just either the cost have become ridiculous, which I think does happen sometimes based on the different vendors in play, or it just they need to move into a different world, so they've got the more support around them. And that point, there's a chapter shift in their business, if you like. And that is a recognizable point in time when you might think, right, we need to have a re-platform event. We can migrate and we can find something else. But that doesn't need to happen every year, you know. And some, like, genuine, my time here, we've had some merchants come to us where they've had, probably on less SaaS platforms, I'd say, they've gone through different web developers every single year for the last, you know, 3 or 4 years before coming to Visualsoft, and then basically stick with us for 5-6 years, because there's continuity of, or a blending of, service plus the SaaS elements of it, which doesn't require them to re-platform all the time. We've got CRA solutions, and, you know, other agencies have got CRA solutions that do a great job of evolving a website over time, that iterates. And, you know, life is all about iterative evolving, so that you get constant improvement.
Well, and I think for the merchant, you know, the kind of secret that I guess Ed and I are alluding to is the fact that you do actually get a virtually new website pretty consistently over time. You just get it piecemeal. And do you know what? The beauty is you're making data-led decisions that are improving what you're doing, rather than just chucking the baby out with the bathwater every time. You know,
exactly.
If you look back over a 12-month period of working with, you know, an agency or something like that, where you are iterating, your site should look quite different from how it looked in the previous 12 months.
Completely.
So, you know, you get that. You don't have to pay that in one fee either. You know, you're paying that on a monthly basis. You know, you're not paying one lump sum or 50-50.
Yeah. It's the idea of going on a journey with a business that's there to support you, which I think, you know, more and more is starting to be seen as the way forwards, but still there's so much of this piecemeal, big welly approach, launch a site and that's going to deliver X value. And I think it does need to be an evolution. Like I said about Visualsoft in the market, because we've got an agency and a platform tied together, you know, which can either be sort of great in the sum of its parts, or it can be different and distinct in terms of both of those elements. But one feeding the other does mean that the platform tends to be data-driven in terms of its build approach and the way that we develop our front ends. Because we've got a marketing agency that's constantly iterating for, you know, the top 5 or 10% of our merchants with the CRA solution. So we know that the templates we build sort of out of the box have a really good chance of being great. We still evolve them. Like, we never sort of stop in our evolutionary approach. But I think it's just harder when an agent, to back to the channel partner piece, when the agency just doesn't have sort of, they don't have a vested interest, if you like, in plugging away at that platform piece, because they're so bothered about making sure that their own value is being realized, which really comes in the form of, you know, let's build another page, let's build another site in a year's time. it's a sort of builder approach rather than sort of maintenance and service and support and grow approach. And we're definitely trying to evangelize for the latter, because I think that's the one that gives agencies sustainable growth over time. And quite frankly, there are some agencies that are quite happy probably being more of a lifestyle business. There are definitely a load of other agencies that are all about how can we win in the market? How can we be a dominant agency? And there are plenty of examples of those in the market here. We're trying to say, look, if you want to really, really kind of differentiate yourselves as an agency out of the sea of 7,000 in the market, you need to start thinking about how you can grow and distinctly grow different revenues in your business. SaaS is a great example of doing that, which is what we're trying to plug away at. But think about your revenue portfolio in the business, because service is great, but it comes with a load of extra headaches.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Ed, maybe this is a good opportunity for me to say to you, you know, from a Visualsoft perspective, what does the kind of future of e-commerce look like?
God, so, from our perspective, we're doubling down on our platform reveal that happened in September, and we're carrying on with our rollout of the sort of in brackets VSX platform, to be named maybe in future or something else. But I think that's our key vision for the future, is to become a dominant alternative platform, end-to-end solution for mid-market retailers. And then to grow that into agencies, to sort of inspire other agencies to kind of join us on this journey as we try and drive more SaaS value to an agency landscape, so that everyone like who we work with, and it might be that we have 5 or 10 or 20 agencies that we work with as a business, can realize that value that you get by supporting merchants in a sort of subtly but important different way. And then I think what I'm really pleased seeing in the market at the moment is such resilience in the merchants that we serve. And I think you see that around the industry in the UK. I'm pleased to see that we as a platform will probably have record Black Friday coming up, which is great. And I'm excited to see how more and more merchants will still come online. I think it's not going to stop, which is exciting. It's slowed over the last couple of years, but I think for us, it's about helping more merchants grow into this space, and do so by de-risking their business so that they have predictable costs in the future on a platform that ultimately should be able to be delivered by any number of agencies, but at the moment it's delivered by ours. And then I think merchants should realize there's some real value in the tech provider they choose.
And if people want to get hold of you, Ed, where can they find you?
LinkedIn's probably the easiest, I would say. I seem to spend more and more time on LinkedIn at the moment.
It's a bit of a black hole sometimes, right?
It is. I have to be careful. Message me on LinkedIn, or I'm sure we can share my email.
I will put your email in the show notes. I will put your LinkedIn profile in the show notes. I will also put a link to Visualsoft in there, so if anybody is interested, they can go and check it out. But Ed, it's been an absolute pleasure having you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Jason. I'll speak to you soon.